This morning's responsive read came from Psalms number 2. So if you want to join along with us, please get your Bible and turn with me to Psalm number 2. You normally hear people say, maybe at a dinner table, maybe during the holidays, or maybe just a casual gathering around a table with a nice meal, someone may say, there's always two things you never discuss at a family table, religion and politics. Well, guess what? When you read Psalm 2, you have both being mentioned. So the Bible does not shy away from discussing religion, whether it's biblical religion or pagan religion, or politics for that matter, whether it's right wing, left wing, no wing, or an independent, someone who's non-affiliate. So in Psalms 2, we find both of these issues openly brought to the table. We start off with a question. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? Wow. Beloved, if you haven't noticed, starting with the expulsion of our first parents from the garden and the ultimate first murder that recorded in Genesis chapter 4, and then the first record of polygamy also in Genesis chapter 4, and by the time you hit chapter 6, 7, 8, and 9, the world at that time had become so corrupt, and you wonder how corrupt we are in light of them, but the world back then was so corrupt, God simply saved only 8 people and a whole bunch of animals and critters, bugs and bees and bats and whatever, to start things all over again. He wiped the slate clean in Genesis 6, 7, 8, 9 with a worldwide flood. And today, it seems that history doesn't become the best teacher for mankind, especially our politicians, our elected officials that we choose at the ballot box, with the understanding that when they go off to serve, they are to be our servants and not become our masters. But as we've seen in the years that we've lived on this planet, our elected officials eventually do become our masters and we become their servants. But in Psalm 2, we find this warfare that is mentioned, this raging and this imagining of a host of vain things is directed not from man to man, but from man to heaven. Man's continual battle against God and his existence. The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel. Well, who do they take counsel against? Well, against the Lord, that's God the Father, and against his anointed, that is God the Son. And so, beloved, when it comes to religion and politics, we got to face it. Political leaders, whether they're kings, whether they are legally or illegally elected by fraud, by voter tampering or stuffing a ballot box, nonetheless, when these individuals get into high office, whether you're a king, whether you're a queen, whether you're a duke, whether you're a prime minister, whether you're a president, whether you're a dictator for life, whether you're a fascist dog or a Nazi pig or a communist devil, these individuals, once they're in office, with all of their might and all of their power and all of their money behind them, they redirect their guns not at other nations, but they direct their guns and cannons heavenward in an attempt to do what? Verse 3. To break their bands asunder. Beloved, man does not like not only the concept that there might be a God, but they shudder to think that this God has anything to say about their life and their lifestyle. If there is a God, he can mind his own business. He can be up in the heavens. He can tell the angels what to do, but he's not going to tell me what to do with my life. And so, our elected officials, the way they sign executive orders or bills that they may sign and pass, all that is an attempt, like an ancient Nimrod at the Tower of Babel, a mighty hunter's against the very face of the Almighty. Let's just simply cast their cords from us. Any idea of God being sovereign, any concept that God does really control this universe, we are going to simply dismiss that, and we are going to be the replacements for God. The state becomes the replacement of deity, and we shall run and grind the masses to powder. Well, that's the first three verses. Kind of grim, awfully negative, lot kind of hopeless. But then we come to the flip side, the positive. Notice verse 4, he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. Here's one of these instances where the Bible tells us that God laughs. What is he laughing at? Puny man and his desire to attempt to break the bonds and the bounds that God has set. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. God ultimately will scatter them like roaches when the light switch is turned. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. So in verses 4 and 5, we find God the Father's estimation on puny man's design and devices of the first three verses of Psalm 2. But then, beginning in verses 6, God the Father introduces God the Son. Yet have I set my King upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord had said unto me, notice there's two persons here talking, the Lord and the person who says unto me, who's none other than the Anointed One of verse 2, I will declare the decree. The Lord had said unto me, quote, thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee, unquote. Ironically, that is quoted in Acts 13:33, and once again in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 5. Now, what are we talking about? Are we talking about the incarnation here? No, we're not. Here, we're talking about the resurrection, the bodily resurrection, where God the Father brought back to life God the Son. And then God the Father continues his conversation with his Son. Ask of me, and I shall give the heathen for thine inheritance. Well, that would sound like the church. That would sound like the gospel door being flung wide open in the book of Acts, chapters 13 and onward, where you find the Apostle Paul going unto the dogs, unto the Gentiles. Those who were once afar off have now been drawn close. And the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. So verses 6, 7, 8, and 9, God the Father introduces God the Son to puny man and his designs and devices in the first three verses. And then Psalm 2 ends with an invitation. An invitation. What do we do with these first nine verses? How are we to handle them? How are we to understand them? How do we bring it down to our level here in the 21st century? Well, God says to everyone, yes, this is directed to men and women in high office, but I believe this invitation is a universal, general, open invitation. Be wise now, therefore, ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. So God wants our political leaders and those who make the laws and those who check to see whether the laws square with the Constitution. This is directed to them directly. And what are they to do? What is Mr. Biden supposed to do? What is Kamala Harris supposed to do? what are the members of Congress supposed to do? And the 9 judges on the Supreme Court, your local city council, your city manager, if you have one. What about the chief of police? What about the sheriff that oversees your county? What about the local dog catcher? Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son. This is an Old Testament expression that mirrors the New Testament expression, receive Christ, believe on Him, trust in and upon Him. Kiss the Son. When you kiss someone, beloved, when you kiss, there's to be no barrier, there's to be no wall. The kiss ought not to be a kiss of hypocrisy, like Judas when he kissed the door of heaven and went straight to hell. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. What did I mention last week when we began this with Psalm 1? What did Spurgeon say about Psalm 1? It's the key to unlocks your further understanding with the other Psalms. Psalm 1 begins, blessed is the man. Psalm 2 ends, blessed are all they that put their trust in him. The blessed man of Psalm 1, verses 1, 2, and 3, is the same person who was mentioned in Psalm 2, verse 12. The blessed are all they that put their trust in him. So may God choose to bless his word. Amen.